Kildare Today with Owen Beattie.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Town renewal master plans have been published for Strafan, Derrinturn, Johnstown Bridge, Ardclough and Leixlip. And we're going to start off in Leixlip with Fine Gael councillor Joe Neville, who's going to take us through the broad outline of what this master plan entails. It identifies realistic and achievable projects that will enhance existing spaces and assets across Leixlip. Some projects relate to major transformative sites that already have a clear trajectory, but provide additional focus with the aim of accelerating delivery. Others suggest improvements to the town fabric in order to improve and build upon the existing public realm. Joe Neville, welcome back to the programme. The key delivery projects identified in this plan, the main street and key spaces, is Leixlip Main Street in need of a facelift in your view?
Nobody listens to your last text messenger. Into the programme, who I just heard before, I was just listening to you. I think it was Brendan or something. He said not to vote for Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil, so I hope he wasn't talking about me. But just an aside, yes, Leixlip is in need of a facelift, definitely, and is in need of this renewal plan to a degree. Obviously, there's concepts within it which people wouldn't be happy with, and you know, and I wouldn't be happy, and I wouldn't foresee happening, but at the same time, it is important that every few years that we do something like this, and we do assess what is required and what can we put in place.
All right. So take us through then more of what this master plan entails then, and the key points in it.
Well, look, this is, first of all, it's a comprehensive 140-page document. It would, I suppose, one thing that when you look back now, that's slightly concerning, is that a lot of the information and a lot of the data was collated just prior to COVID, just around that January to April period, you know, looking at traffic movements and movement, pedestrian movements in the town. Fairness, I suppose things have come back, but look, we all know a lot of changed in the intervening period. So look, as I said, this is a multi-year large project, a lot of work got into it. But so what it entailed was, the first few sections, obviously, people going through, the report gives out the history, sets out the background, the socio-economic and the historical background of Leixlip and how it's come to where it is today. And then it moves on to, I suppose, in fairness, it sets out the key meat of the project and the project, the pieces that you alluded to, breaks into four main sections. First of all, it's the Main Street upgrades, the upgrades that can be within the Main Street area. Second is the wonderful barn area, and then the third is a heritage trail and play section, and then the fourth is the cycle infrastructure around the town. So I suppose the four segments are all encompassed different areas within the town footprint, but I suppose the main one where people are focused on, and in fairness, what you and I have discussed many times, is the Main Street itself and possible upgrades.
Yeah, because dereliction is, you know, a big problem in Leixlip, and we've talked about shops closing down, shops not being used, the post office possibly moving out to Burnhall, the lack of cycle lanes, etc. So it goes back to the point, does the main street in Leixlip need a facelift?
Absolutely needs a facelift, as I said, and you know, and this can encompass part, but I suppose the biggest distraction, I suppose, from this the positives in this, and I would say, look, and you know me, I'm quite a positive person, don't like to go to the negative, but I suppose the one thing that people have kind of latched onto is the fact that we'd be losing half of the car parking spaces in Arthur Guinness Square, you know, on this plan. So I suppose that's not really going to work, because we know that Leixlip has small number of car parking spaces, one of the smallest in the county, and it's about 130 public car parking spaces in the centre of the town. So I suppose, without obviously being negative about a major part of it put in place, we still need to ensure to see what the positives are, so we don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. But Leixlip has a number of private derelict places, but also Kildare County Council own the largest site, and I was kind of disappointed in that aspect of the report, that Kildare County Council own the largest single derelict site in Leixlip Village, and has been derelict for 20 years. So that could have been encompassed for part of the plan. I do think that is a great opportunity. But at the same time, look, it did discuss Ralph Square. You've heard of us discussing Ralph Square here. It did talk about you know, what could be done with the Captain's Hill and different sections there. So look, there are improvements that could be made. But as I said, it's about the council kind of putting in the work on their own sites, but then also you know, improving given the opportunity to private landowners as well to improve their own areas through CPOs or whatever else that we need to do.
You mentioned Heritage Trail and play interventions and the cycle lanes as well, but the Wonderful Burn, something that comes up time and time again. Joe, what actually is the plan for the Wonderful Burn, or what would you like to see happen there?
Okay, where we are now with the Wonderful Burn. The Wonderful Burn is obviously in Kildare County Council hands, and a lot of work has been done over the years and to keep it ticking over. But at the same time, we've never actually had the funding to make something real out of it. So it's at the front stage. We want to put forward for URDF funding, and that's the urban renewal funding. It's a large pot of cash funding that goes down across different counties, comes directly from the state. And so we're putting the Wonderful Burn as being a project because of the fact that it's surrounded by, it's surrounded close to a lot of people where people live, housing estates. But then also people can come visit and park. And the opportunity there is that it becomes a parkland. You know, you've been there before. It becomes a parkland, where you could draw people in through its small craft houses, through play centres, just a visiting area. Because there's about 45 acres of land within the parks in public ownership there. People can utilise it. And I suppose by having something there, we ensure the safety of the barn. Because the barn was built 1743 during a time of famine. And, you know, it's there, it's still okay, but at the same time, without proper use, the risk is obviously it gets dilapidated over time and, become a place that it only kind of falls into, because the house has already fallen apart and that needs to be done up. So I do think it can be a major, not just for Leitrim, a major section, centrepiece, for North Kildare from a tourist perspective. And just even, an internal tourist perspective, there are people from Clane, people from Cook can visit, I suppose, like they would have visited Castletown House more so, possibly in the, over the years,
All right. All of these master plans, by the way, are available to view on the Kildare County Council website. That's Leek Slip, and just a broad overview, thanks to Fine Gael Councillor Joe Neville. Let's go to Ard Clock then, and Fianna Fáil Councillor Michael Coldman. The master plan for Ard Clock aims to increase the attractiveness of the area and, as a result, increase its sustainability as a place in which to work and live. Michael, five key local opportunities identified in this plan, and one main one is to reconsider Ard Clock's green space in order to establish a stronger identity along the main road there.
Yeah, that's right. And look, the residents of Ard Clock are very positive about what's happening. But look, for people that don't know where Ard Clock is, it's a small settlement located on the northeast of the county, approximately 20 kilometres west of Dublin. It's situated close to the larger towns of Selbridge, which is 5 kilometres, Maynooth 12 kilometres, and Clane 11 kilometres, and Neas 13 kilometres. So just to get that out of the way to make sure people know where it is. Yeah, I look at the green or the triangle. Look at what's happening around here is they want to tighten up the junctions because it's important that for safety and put in footpaths. But the one thing that may have caused issue is the one way on the triangle, because we had a motion in previously on this to block it off completely, and it didn't go down well with the residents, so that was dropped. But yeah, look, at one way might work, but I think buses would have to be able to go both ways. So it'd be one way except for buses, I think, and people would be happy in that, because the buses pick up the children in the morning, they drive into the Strafford Road and go up at the triangle and pick them up. So,
Our clock in the past would have been a rural area. It still is, but with the Greenway now being constructed from Dublin down through Kildare, it will pass through our clock, and there's going to be a need now for better pedestrian facilities and road safety there around the village, because there'll be increased footfall.
Yeah, and look at the roads are narrow as well on there, but this would be a big one for them, is to get access from Henry Bridge from the Greenway up to the village centre, and this would be enormous for the whole of our clock. So, because it means that people cycling, walking on the Greenway can come off there at Henry Bridge, and it's only 100 yards up to the village centre, where now they have a cafe there. So it would be good, and also, of course, in the village centre. They have the From Malt to Vault, the Arthur Guinness Grave exhibition there as well. They work very hard there, the committee, and the Tidy Towns were complimented in this for their work, but also the Community Council and the Village Community Centre Committee as well should be acknowledged there as well, because they do fantastic work.
There's a great community spirit out in our clock, Michael.
Absolutely, that's what I said. They all work together, so they do, with the Community Council, and they meet the councillors as well every year, so they do. They're very well organised, and there's a fantastic community. And what they've done out there for a small community, because there is only 400 residents in Artlock, and what they've done out there is fantastic. And of course, the GAA club there as well is great. Like, you know, they won the for 400 residents, they won the club hurling championship in 2017, I think it is. But they've also, between mid-60s and mid-80s, they won 20 in a row. So Nace have a long way to go yet, you know.
All right, let's stay out in that general area anyway. That's Michael Coleman of Fianna Fáil in our clock. And just a few minutes out the road then is Strathan, where Angela Feeney, Labour councillor, is on the line. And Angela, this renewal master plan for Strathan aims to continue to build an identity for the village that's distinctive and authentic, building on the historical, natural and built heritage which the village has to offer. It's one of the most picturesque villages, I think, in the county, Angela.
Absolutely, Owen, you're right. It's absolutely a beautiful village. And I suppose the master plan is about, as you say, building on that and enhancing what's already there. And I suppose Strathan will always hold a special place in my heart, Owen, because it's less than a week ago that we laid Emmett Stagg to rest, and it's always going to be special, I suppose, to the Labour family. But as you say, great sense of community there as well. You know, what Michael mentioned there about our clock, Strathan has in bucket loads as well, because the community council there, the community in Strathan, they show great effort and great pride in the local area, and rightly so. You know, the local Tidy Towns are fantastic as well, and they've been winning since 2007, you know, so well done to them also. So delighted to see the master plan coming to fruition. And what I think is good about it as well, Owen, is that there was great public consultation on this, and again, the community were fantastic in responding. There was nearly 300 respondents to the draft stage of the plan. And I'm happy to see that the master plan takes on board a lot of those comments that came in through the consultation.
Well, footpaths seems to be a big thing that is coming in this master plan, because even they want a better footpath out to the GAA, increase the footpath width up to the school in Strathan, potential to widen the footpath to improve the walking route around the village centre itself. So that's one of the key things.
I'm delighted with that, Owen, because you have had me on your show here talking about the motions that I've been submitting over the years about footpaths in Strathan. So I'm really pleased to see that the master plan focuses, as you say, on that. I'd say if you did a word search in the document, footpath would be up there. And also about traffic calming, because a lot of people have been in touch saying that they want to stay in the area, they want to walk, they want to leave the cars home to go down to the village, but it's not safe, and the Boreen Road and so on. So I've been putting in those motions, so I'm thrilled to see that there's a lot about connecting places, the schools, the GAA, the church, and making it much safer.
Facilities and amenities, Angela. I know you've been calling for a playground in Strathan for a while. Any update on that, and maybe a community hub? I know there is a community centre there, but maybe a bigger community hub?
Absolutely. I'm delighted to see that they're talking in the plan in a lot of detail about a community hub and GAA expansion. Because as you've said, Owen, there, the other issue that I put on the agenda is the need for a playground in Strathan, because it's a growing population and you've young families who want to stay and play in their area, you know, create a community, not to have to leave and to play with their friends. And the community hub sounds really exciting. They're talking about a drop-in docking station for business needs as well. Clinics, I think, is in there as well. Men's shed, a gym, a wellness centre. And, you know, and also multi-sport usage as well, which is good, and car and bike parking. And they're also talking about creating an overflow car park that, you know, because there's a need for additional parking, and while we don't want people bringing cars, we want them walking, there is also a need for people. So the GAA overflow proposed there in the plan is also very welcome.
Labour councillor Angela Feeney out in Strathan. Thanks for that, Angela. Again, all of these master plans or draft master plans are available to view on the Kildare County Council website. Fine Gael councillor Brendan Wise is with us now. And Brendan, let's go to Derren Tern, because there's a number of key projects identified in this renewal master plan for the Derren Tern area.
There is, Owen, and again, surveys of the residents showed what their main concerns are, what their village needs, and in Derren Tern, its traffic safety would be number one. So some of the areas in the plan have already been addressed, because we did have drafts of it and we did get start working on much of the stuff, such as they recommend a pedestrian crossing or something to be done at church there, and there's a new pedestrian crossing there already that was put in last year. And around the school, Owen, they did say focus was needed there, and there's a good redesign and a lot of work put around Derren Tern School. They're saying that we need to do something with the approach roads on, right? So the focus on the village has expanded out, and this master plan looked at the approach roads, and similar to what was done in a lot of villages such as Prosperous and Kilcock, this idea of the entryway, and it seems to recur in these master plans, but it's really good, because what it does, you put up the name of the village and maybe some graphics, and you narrow the road at that point, you put in a ramp, and it kind of lets people know you're now coming into a village, and it slows them down. Mm. And interestingly, Owen, in Derren Tern, they also recommended Derren Tern becoming a 30 kilometre per hour zone. So you see the ads the RSA are running at the moment. They're recommending that for Derren Tern. It's probably because it's a straight run.
Yeah, we finished with Angela talking about the lack of amenities or need for improved amenities in Strathan. The same can be said for Derren Tern.
It can, Owen, and I'll tell you, to be honest, in a lot of the villages, we're lacking playgrounds. Now, we know in Derren Tern, people can use Tibble Hope Playground. There's a new one coming in Allenwood, but it means you have to travel to them. Really, there should be a playground within every single village. The issue has been finding sites. The council don't own land. They need to acquire land. And it was good in the master plan. They did identify some sites. Again, they're not owned by the council, but they'd have to be acquired. But it's good to have an external view on this and saying where they think the potential sites should be. And it's something that's always been in the budget there for Derren Tern Playground, but to actually find a site is a difficulty. So the plan does have some recommendations about that.
There's also a recommendation in Derren Tern about improving the Sleanus Launcher. What's this?
The Sleanus Launcher in Derren Tern is very popular, and it's footpath all the way around to the GAA. But there's this back road from the GAA down to Windmill Cross. If you were ever going to the GAA, you might take that road. It's a bendy road, and any time I use it, I meet people walking on it. And it is kind of unsafe if you don't know the road and you aren't aware there could be walkers. And a really good recommendation in this plan is to do a survey as a first action to see how can we make that safer and complete that loop. And I think that's something that we could achieve this year on from the plan, and it'd be very welcome. That popular healthy walking route for the village, but just unsafe in this particular piece. So a little bit of an action to address that.
Let's go from Derren Tern to Johnstown Bridge, and again we're back to pedestrian facilities, and this much talked about road or footpath out to the GAA from the centre of the village in Johnstown Bridge, a key thing in the master plan, Brendan.
It is key, and the reason it's important, Owen, to have it in the plan is because if you want to get government funding for these types of projects, it's good if you can point to a document like a master plan, and we now have it. The long-requested footpath of the GAA is in there. It's the only sporting facility for Johnstown Bridge, and it's a little bit away from the village, again, on a kind of a dangerous road if you're to walk or cycle out there, and you should be able to walk and cycle out there, so that's one of the key things in the plan, is that this objective is there, which I welcome that.
What about amenities again in Johnstown Bridge?
Again, as I say, lacking for any park or playground, and the council doesn't have land. There's good suggestions in these master plans about natural play areas on. Even a simple log or a thing that a child in an estate can get up on and play and walk along. A simple slide or a swing, and it does recommend a few areas for that kind of thing. Again, you have to work with the residents, see would they be happy with this and where should they go. But I think it's good to have it in the plan that you have some potential locations for these amenities. Again, it's something that every village should have, you know.
We just have a message in, Brendan, from Mervyn Walsh, who's the chairman of the Johnstown Bridge Residents Association and the Tidy Towns. He says the renewal master plan needs to include the following: road resurfacing from Johnstown Bridge to Dunfermline cemetery, glass recycling centre, community garden and playground, planting trees and maintenance of the green kilometre within the village, the footpath from the village out to the GAA, which we've touched on, and maybe a public EV charge point on the main street. Some good recommendations there from Mervyn, Brendan, and the key thing here is that these master plans are not set in stone. The public are encouraged to have their say.
Yeah, exactly. Like the consultation with this took place a couple of years ago, and this has come from that. But I since met with Mervyn and the Good Community Group there. I think it was on your program a few weeks ago. They come up with some brilliant ideas that were too late for this plan, such as the EV charging points on the main street and the recycling facility. I said at the time, it's great to hear the village. I was actually out with Mervyn looking at some of these issues. That road, it's obviously a short-term project to resurface the road to the GA, but that will be done this year. And where myself and Mervyn planted some trees last weekend is where the entry sign would be on Johnstown Bridge to slow the traffic there. So I think a lot of the actions that Mervyn's talked about there are considered in the plan, are going to be done in the short term this year, except for maybe that recycling facility and EV charging. And I think, as I said in your programme there a couple of weeks ago, Johnstown Bridge is the first village that came to me looking for this stuff. The community is looking for it. So if it's not in the master plan, that doesn't mean it can't be done either, you know.
Finally, Brendan, just while we're up around the Derren Turn and Johnstown Bridge area, Larry Malone has texted in, and he was on the programme only a couple of weeks ago. I'm sure you probably heard him saying that he feels as though Broadford, Clonrinco, Cadham Town and those rural areas are being left behind. A lack of facilities, a lack of shops, post offices, etc. And he's calling for help to try and renew those particular areas.
Yeah, and Owen, I suppose we can't obviously encourage shops to farm in these villages or to start new businesses. But one thing I have looked for is these local link routes, which are appearing all over the county. I have brought that up in a meeting, that you need to have that bus service around the Clonrinco, Broadford, Cadamstown area, if that's how you're going to get people circulating and using services. And it is something that they're trying to look at the feasibility of. And I think that's the key. All the problem with especially Clonrinco is it's kind of isolated. There's no public transport. And if you had it into some sort of loop, I think that would be the start. And then again, there's a lot of children going to schools in those areas similar that would use these services. So I think that would be the start of it, Owen, is public transport. And we did actually put road markings at the school in Broadford. So some little things happening in those areas as well. We're hoping to do something in Clonrinco as well. So I would like to reassure Larry that certainly myself, we're not forgetting about those areas and we're thinking of plans for it. But unfortunately, because of the locations, you do need something like public transport to make those kind of improvements, you know.
We'll have to leave it there. Fine Gael councillor Brendan Wise, thanks for that, Brendan. So those town renewal master plans published for Strafford, Derren Turn, Johnstown Bridge, Arklok and Leakslip. Have a look at them on the Kildare County Council website, kildarecoco.ie. There was also one published a couple of weeks back that was posted about Castle Dermot. So you can have a look at that one as well. And just another message in from Roseanne that says to Brendan, don't forget the Mucklin Road as well that needs to be done. So Brendan, I'm sure, has heard that. And thanks, Roseanne, for the message.
Kildare Today with Owen Beattie.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
James just sent a message in to say they need to upgrade the traffic slowing measures in Johnstown Village and Kill to discourage motorists coming off the Nace Road in the mornings and using the towns as a rat run to avoid heavy traffic. That comes in from James. And also Mary out in Strafford says a big shout out to John and Susan Buggy's shop in Ardclock, the best shop around. John and Susan would do anything for you, she says. And she also says it would be great for Strafford if they could keep cars off the paths for those in wheelchairs. Thanks for that message, Mary. Keep them coming in to us, 0833 97 97 97. Fianna Fáil Senator Lisa Chambers is with me on the line now. Lisa, welcome to the programme. A couple of weeks ago, you said that women are being forced to travel abroad for endometriosis treatments as Ireland is currently without the specialist expertise, and this is having a huge impact on women's lives in Ireland, such as chronic pain and infertility. Tell us what endometriosis is and how it affects women.
Yeah, so thanks and good morning. So endometriosis, some listeners may be aware, is a chronic condition that affects, we think, about 1 in 10 women, but actually it's quite likely it's higher. due to people being misdiagnosed or not being diagnosed yet. So 10% of women at a minimum have this condition. Now, it varies in degree in terms of severity. The stage is 1 to 4. And effectively what it is, it's where tissue similar to the lining of the womb grows elsewhere in the body. So outside the womb, around the fallopian tubes, the ovaries, up into the lungs even. And it can be very debilitating in terms of chronic pain, fatigue, fertility issues. And it can be really, really life-changing for somebody that has this condition. And there is no cure, unfortunately, but it can be managed and treated through different medications, but also surgery really is the optimum treatment, particularly if you're at stage 3 or 4, the more severe end of things. The challenges that we have with endometriosis in Ireland is that we've come a long way. We did see a new specialist centre open in Tala last year, so that was fantastic. And we have new see and treat gynecology clinics that are helping as well. But if you have a more complex case of endometriosis where it's growing on the bowel or other organs, you need what's known as wide excision surgery. So complex surgery, a multidisciplinary team. And it can be very difficult to get somebody to do that surgery. And it can be difficult to get theatre time because you're competing with other conditions or women having cesarean sections and other gynecology surgeries. So getting theatre time and getting the specialist surgery, if you need the more extreme, I suppose, treatment, can be very challenging. And we know that women are travelling abroad as far as Romania, the UK and other countries to get that specialist surgery. So, you know, the length of time for diagnosis on average takes about 9 years, which is, I think, an extraordinary length of time to just get answers. And the reason for that is that the only way to really diagnose endometriosis is through a laparoscopy procedure, which is a keyhole surgery, to actually physically go inside and look. You know, scans will not pick up endometriosis. You could have an ultrasound or an MRI. It will not detect it. And that's why it often goes unnoticed. Mm. And also some of the symptoms mirror the symptoms you would get with IBS. And many women find they are misdiagnosed with IBS before ultimately getting that diagnosis of endometriosis. And often women find they have it and they go to try and have children and they encounter some difficulties in that space. But it is important to say it can be managed, and it's not that you can't have children, but it can cause some difficulties in that space. So don't alarm people. But
right, well, the opening of that clinic in Tala certainly is a step in the right direction, but it's only scratching the surface, really. Nowhere near close enough to dealing with the problems that you've outlined there. So what can be done going forward?
Yeah, so a number of things. We do have some fantastic doctors in the country and surgeons that are doing this work. There just aren't enough of them, and they are competing for theatre time with other issues. That's one thing. We need separate theatre time for these complex surgeries. We also need to reduce the time for diagnosis. And one of the things that I've been working on this issue for a number of years because one of my sisters has the condition at a very severe level. We need to educate young girls about what is a normal period and what isn't. You know, it's not normal for a young girl to be missing school, being bedbound for days with their period, missing work, missing out on sports or dance or whatever their activities are. You know, your period shouldn't do that. And that's important to say. If you're having those challenges, it is important to go and talk to your GP and discuss that, because the quicker and the earlier, like with lots of things, the sooner you get a diagnosis and start getting treatment, early intervention means you have less damage done inside. So it's really important to try and reduce that time for diagnosis. And then you're right, you know, we are only scratching the surface really with services. Once you get that diagnosis, it's really important that there's a proper care pathway, that you go to your GP, you get your referral to a specialist gynecologist, and that you have the option to get the surgery here in Ireland that you need. For many women, they will be able to get the services that they need in Ireland, but that complex wide excision surgery is very difficult to get here. And we just need to get to a stage where women are not travelling to get the care. And ultimately, that's my aim and ambition. And that's a shared ambition of Stephen Donnelly as well, who has done a lot of work on this, to be fair to him, in the last 4 years.
All right. It is an important discussion. And we've had a couple of messages in, actually, from women who have endometriosis, just echoing what you've said, Lisa, and are calling for better services here in Ireland so they don't have to go to the UK and mainland Europe. Before I let you go, I'm just told that you're actually in Kildare today, coincidentally. I didn't know that before you came on the programme. You're here in the county. What are you doing in Kildare?
I am, yeah. I'm a candidate for the Midlands Northwest constituency in the upcoming European election. So I'm campaigning today in Kildare. I'll be heading to Naas and Newbridge. I'm meeting up with colleagues there, Senator Fiona Loughlin and Councillor Carmel Kelly and others. So we'll be just doing a meet and greet, a walk around the town, and a trip to the Curragh as well. I was a long-time member of the Defence Forces at the Army Reserve for years, so I'm looking forward to visiting there as well.
All right, we'll leave it there. Thanks indeed to Lisa Chambers, Fianna Fáil Senator, for joining us, and good morning to you. Enjoy your time in Kildare as well.